Hey, this is Pastor Aram, and I want to thank you for joining me today for the Activation Church podcast. We are here so that people can activate their life in Christ, and I believe this message is going to help you go further than ever before. Check it out.
Last night, I was sitting at the house, and I started flipping through the television, and I came across an old movie that many of you are probably familiar with. A lot of you have probably seen it, but it was Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. You know what I'm talking about? The old stop, you know, where the character's like, And so I was watching this movie, and if you haven't seen the movie, you have probably heard the song, or at least sung the song before. You know the one I'm talking about? Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose, and if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. All of the other reindeer, help me out, used to laugh and call him names, joining any reindeer games. But guess what happened? Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, Rudolph, with your nose so bright, I want you guide my sleigh tonight.
I think you got the point. Give yourself a round of applause. You get the point. And so if you've never seen the movie but you know the song, then you kind of know the plot to the movie. It's about this little reindeer who gets excluded from things because he's different. But as the story unfolds, we learn that there's something special about Rudolph, and what they have been excluding actually has a lot of value. I think sometimes we exclude things from our life that God has placed there to be a gift to us. For instance, last week we talked about gratitude. We talked about how the fact that as we grow in gratitude, gratitude will start growing things for us, yet it's a gift that many people neglect. They overlook it, maybe because they don't want to operate in gratitude, or maybe they don't understand the benefit of gratitude. I don't know why, but we exclude things like that from our life, and since we exclude it from our life, then we cannot receive the benefit of it. So today I wanted to talk about another gift that has the ability to impact your life in a significant way. This gift is actually something that the Bible says we should all excel at it. How many of you understand when the Bible says you should be good at something, it's probably something we should take note of? The gift I want to talk to you about today is the gift of generosity. And I want you to understand that as you grow in generosity, generosity actually has the ability to start growing things for you. As a matter of fact, generosity is a key that unlocks the door to the blessing and provision of God. I want to say that one more time. Generosity is the key that unlocks the favor and the blessing of God. Watch what the Bible says in Proverbs, the 11th chapter, verse 24. The Bible says, one gives freely. In other words, one person is generous, yet grows all the richer. That seems backwards. Seems like the more I release, the less I would have. Yet the Bible is saying the one who has learned how to release is actually the one who is enriched. But another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and the one who waters will himself also be watered. See, generosity creates the capacity for the blessing of God to operate in your life. If your hands are continually closed, there's no room for you to receive anything. But as soon as you open your hands, you become a conduit of the blessing of God, because he knows whatever he brings to you, he can get through you. I want to show you something. A few months ago, I went to the eye doctor because I'm getting to that point in my life where things are starting to get a little blurry. Anybody hit that point? Yeah. It's real.
When you injure yourself just sitting down, you know that you are getting to the point where life is changing rapidly. And so they gave me these glasses, and they have a progressive lens. Does anybody in here wear a progressive lens? The way a progressive lens works is there's three different focal points. So when I look through the top portion of the lens, that helps me see clearly far away. So like for the people who are sitting in the very back of the church, I see you clearly now. The middle focal point is to help me kind of see relatively close up. So like in this format, this middle range isn't really that great for me to use. And then the bottom portion of the lens is for reading. Now what happens is, if I learn how to look through the proper lens, I start seeing things clearly. I think the reason so many people struggle with generosity is because they're viewing it through the wrong lens. Think about that. Maybe we're looking at it completely wrong. Like one of the lenses that we could view generosity through is the lens of lack, meaning I would love to be generous, but I just don't have what it takes to be generous. I want to do more, but I just don't have enough. And maybe you have felt that way. And it reminds me of this story in Scripture with a man named Elijah who comes up to this widow woman who doesn't have very much. And when he comes up to her, he asks her to bake him a cake. Now here's the problem. This woman barely has enough to feed her and her son, much less do anything for Elijah. She tells him, I can't. See, here's the deal. I'm gathering these sticks right now because I'm going to bake a cake for me and my son, and it's actually going to be our last meal. Because once this runs out, we have nothing else to eat, and we're going to die of starvation. And then Elijah says something that would seem very insensitive to most of us. He says, I hear what you're saying, but go ahead and make for me a cake first. I don't think you're understanding, Elijah. I don't have enough. And he's like, I hear what you're saying, but I'm asking you to be generous with what you do have. And as soon as she takes the opportunity to bake a cake for him, God steps into the situation and causes a supernatural increase to where now she can feed herself, her family, her friends, and Elijah, the Bible says, for many days until the drought ended. What happened? Her generosity opened the door for God's favor and blessing. See, sometimes we don't have because we don't release. We think that holding on is what's going to bring things into my life, not understanding that the Bible teaches that if you'll just let go, then you create the opportunity for the blessing of God to happen in your life. So that's one of the lenses that we can view life through, is the lens of lack. Another lens that we could view life through is the lens of greed. I want more. You ever met anybody like that? They're never satisfied. They always want more. And here's the thing. More is okay. Turn to the person next to you and say, more is okay. It is not wrong to want more. Here's the thing. You've got to make sure that you must have the right motive behind wanting more. Do I want more just so I can consume it upon my own lust? Or do I want more so that I can be more of a blessing? See, it's a completely different thing. Understanding, man, if I have more, then I can do more. And if I'll do more, then God will bring more. Because God blesses me to be a blessing. But see, the problem is most people don't think that way. Some people view their money as God instead of looking at it as a tool to serve God with. And that becomes idolatry. See, if you serve your money as God, you have created an idol in your life. And if you understand Scripture, idolatry never ends well. So that's one of the lenses that we could look at it through. Like, my money is my God. My money is my source. My money is mine. That's the lens of ownership. What I have is mine. What I have belongs to me. It's not for anyone else. I worked hard for it, so I'll gather, and I'll hold. The problem with the view of ownership is it's not really biblical. See, the Bible doesn't teach your ownership. The Bible teaches your stewardship, and it's completely different. Can I show you what I'm talking about? Watch this verse. This is so cool. So in Psalm 24:1, remember, we're talking about the difference between ownership and stewardship. In Psalm 24:1, the Bible says that the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. What does that mean? That means everything belongs to God. Turn to the person next to you and say, everything belongs to God. Why? Because it comes from God. He's the one that created it. He is the one that made it. And so generosity has to start here. It has to start with an understanding that you don't own anything. Everything that you have is a gift from God because of his generosity to you. Are you following this? So the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. So everything I have is a gift from God for me to enjoy and to manage in a way that honors him. See, it's good to enjoy the blessings of God. Please understand me. If God blesses you, enjoy it. But understand that that blessing is not all about you. It's also learning how to, beyond enjoy it, manage it in a way that honors God. Have you ever been to a building that has a revolving door before, like a hotel? Or it's pretty cool. Like, if we ever go to a building that has one of these, it could have a regular door next to it, revolving door in the middle, and your boy's hitting the revolving door. I may even take a few spins around. It's just fun to me, okay? I like to entertain myself. I'm simple like that. But the idea is the revolving door works in a way that people can constantly be coming in while people are constantly leaving. That's a picture of what our life should look like. Continually open to receive the blessing of God. But at the same time, we are completely open to release the blessing of God. We are completely open to being a conduit of God's favor and blessing. We are completely open to reflecting his generous nature. The Bible says in Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, verse 22, when you reap the harvest. Now, let me pause there because I've got to set this up for you. God has brought the children of Israel out of bondage and slavery. And he's about to bring them into a promised land that he's going to give to them. So get this picture. This is not something that they have earned. This is a gift from God, which is how we all should view our life and what we have. Not something I have earned, but something that God has given me to enjoy and manage. So God tells them, I'm going to bring you into a phenomenal land. It's going to be a land flowing with milk and honey. In other words, this is going to be a place of abundance. But once you get there, I want you to remember that I'm your God. I'm the one that gave it to you. I'm the one that blessed you. I'm the one that gives you the power to get wealth. And there's some guidelines and principles I want you to follow so that you can reflect my nature. So God tells them here in Leviticus 23, when you get there and you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right up to its edge, nor shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and the sojourner. I am the Lord your God. In other words, don't consume everything that you get. Leave a portion for generosity. I'm going to give you a field, and I'm going to cause things in that field to flourish and grow. But once they flourish and grow, enjoy a portion, and the majority of it is yours to enjoy. But please reflect my nature by leaving something for generosity. understand that not everything that touches your hand is for your life. I'm going to explain that, but I want to say that again, Chris. Not everything that comes into your hand is meant for you. Sometimes God will bring something to you because he wants to get it through you. Several years ago, a gentleman wrote a check to our church for $10,000, and it blew my mind because this guy didn't even go to our church. He just felt like being generous. He saw that our church was growing and all the things that we're accomplishing, and he was like, man, that looks like good ground. So he wrote a check for $10,000, and I was like totally blown away. I was like, man, we could really use this. We could really use this to accomplish a lot of great things here at the church. Well, a few weeks later, I was in a meeting with a ministry that goes in and sets up in prisons, and they minister to the prisons. It's a phenomenal ministry, and so many things are happening in the prisons. Guys, girls, everyone's getting saved, loving Jesus. So they're telling me about this, and I'm like, man, that's really cool. Well, as they're talking in this meeting, I just felt like that $10,000 was supposed to go to them. But I was like, okay, because like we could do a lot of cool things with that too. So I just sat there and listened to them talk, and they got done telling me all the things that they're going to do in our local prison system. And I just said to them, how much is that going to cost? Do you know what they said? $10,000. And I said, well, here's the thing. Don't worry about fundraising, because our church is going to take care of the entire $10,000. I don't want you to have to worry about raising money. I want you to focus on doing ministry, which is such a huge blessing for a church to not have to focus on always raising money, because it's filled with generous people. We can just focus on ministry, and if a need arises, we can always say yes because we're prepared for it. And we were able to do that. Why? Because we understood that God brought that to us so that he could get it through us. The result of that kind of living is God is always taking care of our needs. You know why? Because he knows if I can get it to them, I can get it through them. There was another time a man came up to me back when our church was still in Kennesaw. We were looking at this property, and everybody said it's impossible. Everybody was saying a bank will never give a church as young as you that kind of money. I just tend to believe God, by the way. And if you're watching online and you said that, I would like to give you a blessing of saying, nana, nana, boo, boo. But I'm just kidding. But this gentleman came up to me during service, and he handed me this very generous check. He was a businessman. And I said, thank you so much. He said, no. He said, you don't have to thank me. He said, I just did a business deal, and God told me that money wasn't for me, it was for you. See, I'm just the vessel that he's using to get you what you need so that you can do what you need to do for the ministry. Isn't that beautiful? A conduit of the blessing. But that doesn't happen when I see things as mine. That happens when I see things as a blessing from God. So I get to enjoy. Man, as God brings blessing into my life, I get to enjoy it. But I also need to be willing to say, that has the power to leave my life. Understanding that if I live that way, it creates the capacity for more. What would happen if I started seeing my resources as a tool to build his kingdom versus a tool to just build my life? Have you ever thought about that? My mind was drawn to the story of Peter in scripture where he goes fishing. He fishes all night long. Do you know that one? He fishes all night long and he catches nothing. Now, this is his livelihood. This is not him after a Sunday service going to Lake Altoona saying, hey, let's see if we can get, you know, some fish together for a fish fry. This is how Peter feeds his family. This is how Peter pays the bills. He works all night, catches nothing. So you can imagine the frustration.
How am I going to make ends meet this month? How am I going to take care of my family? How am I going to go home today, look my wife in the eye, and tell her, you've got to return all those Amazon packages because your boy Peter is broke?
I could imagine this would be a desperate feeling. I can imagine this would be a frustrating feeling. In the midst of all this, he starts washing his nets, just trying to take care of his gear so he can go home, possibly eat a meal, go to sleep, and forget about the worst day of his life. And Jesus interrupts his plan by stepping down into his boat. Now, here's what's significant about this moment. Peter has a choice. Peter could say, bro, I am so tired right now. I just need to go home, go to sleep. I've got to figure out a different way to pay my bills. I got to figure out a side hustle. He could have done that. He could have said, Jesus, I know that you haven't walked on water yet, but I believe that you have the ability to walk on water, and so maybe you should walk on out there and preach your sermon there. Which Jesus could have done. Think about that. We act like Jesus needed the boat. Jesus didn't need the boat. Jesus chose to involve Peter in this scenario. So all of these things could have happened, and Peter says, you know what? I'm going to make my boat available. What's that? His business, his resource, his livelihood. I'm going to make this available to you. And in that moment, Peter's act of generosity opened the door for Jesus to minister to the people. How powerful is that? His resource became a tool to advance the mission of Jesus. And it'd be great if the story ended there, but it doesn't. Because Jesus now, when he gets done preaching, he says, Peter, it's time to go fishing. And Peter's like, man, you don't understand. I've done this all night. I've not caught any fish. Like, that's the time you fish. And Jesus says, no. I want you to go back out because there's something different now. See, the last time you were fishing on your own, under your own strength, but now you're about to start fishing with favor. Now you're about to start fishing with my blessing. And let me tell you something, church, you can do more with the favor of God in a moment than you can do on your own, under your own strength. And in a moment, Jesus shifts everything for Peter. But it started by being available. Here's what I got. So Peter goes fishing, and something strange starts happening. The boat starts rocking, and they got a large catch of fish. The Bible says it was so big that it started breaking the nets. Then they called to their partners' boats, and the partners came and help them haul in the fish because it was such an abundant catch of fish. Not only was Peter blessed in an abundant way, but everyone that Peter was connected to was blessed because of that one moment where he said, I'm going to make what I have available for the mission. See, a lot of times we think that having more is about holding on. But what if having more was about creating the space for more? What if the blessing of God really was about what you are willing to release? What if what you currently have is what God is looking at to say, what will you do with it? Can I show you something in 2 Corinthians? This is such a great place of scripture. 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, verse 6. The Apostle Paul is dealing with money here. He's dealing with generosity here. And he says this in chapter 9, verse 6. He says, the point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. In other words, the size of your harvest is completely dependent on how much you are willing to sow. How much are you willing to make available? Then he goes on to say, each one must give as he's decided in his heart. Not reluctantly or under compulsion. See, generosity should never be done out of compulsion. Generosity should never be done out of like
feeling like it's something I have to do. It should be a joy to do it. It should be a get to, not a got to. Why? Because God, the Bible says, God loves a cheerful giver. Why does he love a cheerful giver? Because it reflects his nature. And anytime you reflect God's nature, it honors him, but it also brings fulfillment to your life. Sometimes we live with this emptiness because we're not walking in our purpose. It goes on to say this. This is powerful. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Once I see that you're doing good work, I'm going to increase your ability to do more of what I love you doing. I love your generosity. I'm going to make it in such a way to where you can be even more generous. It's mind-blowing. It says he has distributed freely. He's given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed. Why? So that you can sow more and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. When I see you're faithful with what I've given you, I know I can trust you with more. But you can never receive something new until you release what you already have. Can everybody just take a deep breath real quick? Now I want you to hold it. I'm releasing mine because I want to keep on talking. You just received something you need. Something that is incredibly valuable. But the only way you can live is to receive another one. And the only way you can receive another one is to let go of what you already have. Does that make sense? Open hands create open opportunities. There's a place in Haggai, the first chapter, that I want to settle in as we close today's message, but it's really important to see because God is taking Israel on this journey. They've been in captivity because of their disobedience, which is amazing. God would rescue them, then they would turn their back on God. God would rescue them, and it was a vicious cycle over and over again. Now they're back in captivity, but God's bringing them back to Jerusalem, back to their homeland, and he tells them, when you get there, I want you to rebuild the temple. The problem is when they got there, they forgot about God again. And watch what he says in Haggai, the first chapter, verse 2. Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. Is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? Is it really is now the time for you to build your house and your wealth and forget about me and what I've done for you? That's what he's saying. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and harvested little. You're planting a lot of crops, but you're not getting a lot of return. You eat, but you never have enough. And you drink, but you never have your fill. No matter what you get, you're never satisfied. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them into a bag with holes. It's never enough for you. You ever met someone like that? No matter how much they get, it's never enough. It just seems to be disappearing. It's like putting money in a pocket full of holes. God's going to let them know why they're experiencing this. He says this, consider your ways. Verse 8, go up to the hills and bring wood and build the house that I may take pleasure in it and that I may be glorified, says the Lord. I want you to build my temple so that there can be a place of worship where people can come and have communion and fellowship and spend time with me. You looked for much, and behold, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why? Because of my house that lies in ruins, while each of you busies himself with his own house. Therefore, because of this, the heavens above you have withheld the dew, and the earth has withheld its produce. And I have called for a drought on the land and the hills and the grain and the new wine, the oil, and on what the ground brings forth, on the man and beast,
and on all their labors. See, it's important to understand, God's not only the source of your blessing, but he's also the one who has the ability to cause it to dry up. Sometimes we forget that. We think that we'll always have what we have, not realizing that God has the ability to flip the switch in a moment. Why would he ever do that? Because we're not honoring him. But when we honor him, he blesses us. When we honor him, he does more for us. See, he's testing Israel here. I'm going to put you back in a position of blessing, but now I'm going to watch and see what you do with it. Have you ever thought that maybe God is watching to see what you do with what he's given you? The gifts, the talent, the resources, the finances, your abilities, your time. Maybe he's looking at what you are doing with it, and based upon what you do with it will determine what you will get next. When I was a kid, I wanted to learn how to play saxophone, and so my dad bought me a sax. Sax, my hand. And I learned to play it, but then over time I just got to where I was like, you know, that's not really that cool. I want to learn how to play the bass guitar. And so I went to dad, and I was like, Dad, will you buy me a bass guitar? And he said, no. And I said, how could you say that to me? And he said, it's very simple. You take your tongue, you put it on the top of your mouth, and you just release it. No. And I was like, why not? He said, because years ago I bought you a little guitar, and you never did anything with it. You never learned how to play it. Then I bought you the saxophone, and you're not using it now. So why would I buy you something else that you're not going to use? That's a waste. So I heard what he said, and I went and found that old guitar, and I cut two of the strings off of it because a bass only has four strings. And I started learning how to play. And over time, I got pretty decent, and I decided now it's time for me to get a real bass. But instead of going to dad and asking him for a bass because he already told me no, I took the saxophone to a music store. I had one of his employees drive me, so I don't even know if dad knows that I went. This guy takes me to the music store. I'm probably 8, 9, 10 years old. I'm willing and dealing at a young age, you know what I'm saying? And I trade my saxophone in for a bass guitar that cost me $115. Now, if you know anything about guitars, that's not a lot of money for a guitar. It was a Hyundai bass. But I took that bass and I learned how to play it. I started using it all the time. I became very passionate about it. And a few years later, it was around my birthday time in 1993, and there was a blizzard that came through. Does anybody remember the blizzard of 93 that hit here in Georgia? It was wild. And we were shut in for an entire week. We didn't have power. We were having to use like the gas stove and the gas furnaces, all that gas stuff to heat the house. And I remember sitting there in the cold, dark house and seeing my dad walk through the door with something in his hand that looked like a guitar case. And sure enough, that year, for my birthday, he bought me a Fender P bass. Why? Because he saw I would use what I had. And from that moment forward, did you know that there was never a time I ever asked him for a musical instrument that he ever said no again? His answer was always yes. Why? Because he knew that I would use it. So it was a pleasure to give to me. See, generosity creates the space for more. Generosity creates the space for increase. The question that I want all of us to ask ourselves is, how can I become more generous in my life? What would life look like if I actually said, you know what, I'm going to be a generous person? I'm going to take stuff like this gratitude talk that we had last week, and I'm actually going to become a person who's grateful. What would it look like? How can I start creating the space in my life? How can I start creating the room in my life for generosity? This month, I mentioned our Christmas offering. It's something that a lot of people like to participate in. And I would say that's a great place to start. That's something that everybody can do, and it's not about the size or the amount. It's just about you saying, you know what, I'm going to open up my life to start being more generous. When I see an opportunity, I'm going to take it. And it's not just about what you give to church. We're centering it around that today because your generosity makes the mission of the church happen. I hope you know that. Like if you stop, eventually we've got to stop. So we're talking about it in the sense of like your generosity does make a difference and it does make the mission possible. But generosity is something that should flow from your life in every area of your life. So yesterday I went and got my hair cut. And I know what you're thinking. Why? I don't ever do it. I always cut my own hair because it's pretty easy to do this if you didn't know. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm looking at the glare off your head right now. But just kidding. No, but seriously, we're all bald. Bald and blessed, but bald nonetheless. So I left the gym, and I was on my way to Publix. I was going to go in and get some meat to cook for the day. And I passed the Supercuts, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to go in and treat yourself. This is going to be a treat yourself moment. I just want to sit in a chair and let somebody else play with my head for a little bit. Okay, and it was awesome. But when we got done, we went to the register, and she said, "Now that'll be $23." So in case you were wondering what this costs, it's $23. When I told my wife that, she was like, "Why?" And now I know why I do it myself. But on the check, there was a place to write a tip, and so I gave her a $20 tip for a $23 haircut. Now, that $20 doesn't mean much to me, okay? And to be honest with you, the $20 may not mean that much to her in the sense of the value of the dollar. But when she looked down and saw that, her face lit up. And I think it's because she thought, wow, someone actually does care. See, that's how we should be in every aspect of our life. If we have the opportunity to be generous, let's be generous. And maybe you don't have an exorbitant amount to be generous with. Start with what you have. Start with what you can do. Well, thank you so much for joining us again today for our Activation Church podcast. I hope this message has been an inspiration to you. Listen, take time to rate our podcast. It helps us get the message out. Also, I don't know if you know this, but we've got a great YouTube channel with amazing resources. It's Activation Church. So go there, subscribe, and watch our content. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.